Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody tonight. If you want to follow along, we'll be in Philippians, the third chapter tonight. We'll be in Philippians, the third chapter. Paul is one of those that I've kind of gotten used to his closing is as much as what he wants to talk about. He has four chapters, or at least people have divided Philippians into four chapters. About halfway through his letter, he starts his closing. Finally, my brethren. He still has two chapters left to go. It takes him a while he's just got so many things to say. But he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Who else is there? And he's getting ready to kind of talk about this in a little bit. Who else is there to rejoice in other than the Lord? You know, we sometimes try to rejoice in life about other things. And it's just, it's empty. It's hollow. You know, we were talking about friends, loved ones, you know, that you can try to present it and they don't get it yet. Maybe they will. Life's tough. Sometimes life with Christ is tough. I don't see how people do it without Christ. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, regardless of the circumstance. Not if things are going your way, not if things are smooth sailing. When life kicks you in the teeth, even. When life gives you a gut punch, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious. He doesn't mind reminding them. I had a coach in high school, says, if I tell you something, it's important. If I say something, you do it. Case closed. But if I repeat myself, you better know it's important. How many times does Paul, does the Bible in general, whoever the writer is, sometimes we hear the same things? Repent. Serve God and serve God only, etc. Paul says, it's not tough for me to write to you things you've heard before. But for you, it is safe because you can bank on those things. He goes on to say, beware of dogs. He's not talking about canines. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Whole bunch of things right here in just two small, simple verses. God is love. Jesus is love, harmony, peace. But Jesus laid it out sometimes in clear, cold, harsh language. Not improper, but harsh language. Someday, read Matthew 23, where he's dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. He calls them everything justly under the sun. Whitewashed tombs, hypocrites, brood of vipers. Paul was not shy about calling it as he sees it. He's telling the Philippians, beware of dogs. And he's not talking about little pets. He's not even talking about wild dogs, but he's comparing people to wild dogs. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll be getting to that in Sunday morning, in chapter 7, he says, beware of people in sheep's clothing that are inwardly ravenous wolves. Paul is saying, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. On the surface, they might even appear to be doing things. But just for face value, beware of the people that are busy doing evil. Stay away from them. Beware. It's dangerous. Don't see how close to them you can get. Don't flirt with danger. He says, beware of the mutilation. There were people teaching, and we spent a good time Wednesday night study discussing the book of Galatians. And there were people that had come to Christ out of Judaism that were teaching people to be a Christian, you have to do all the things that you got. You know, you got to hear, you got to believe, you got to repent, you got to confess, you got to be baptized, but you got to be circumcised. That if you're a Gentile, you've got to be circumcised also to be saved. Paul's calling it mutilation. It's no more worthy of anything. Does you no good. You're just mutilating your body. Beware of the mutilation. Those are teachings, false teachings. Those dogs were teaching things contrary to the Word of God. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Second time in three verses, rejoice in the Lord. And have no confidence in the flesh. Easier said than done. I don't know if you can relate to this. Paul might have just been writing to me. I've lived my life. I'm a control freak. I like to try to control my life, do the things that I have control over. I've had a career of teaching and coaching that's kind of fallen into that. You say something and people do it. And they do it fast. But what about when the things you have no control over have no confidence in the flesh? Sometimes we push all of our chips. We're living in Las Vegas here. We'd understand. Push all your chips on youth. I'm young. I can do it all. I'm learning. I don't bounce like I used to. I'm realizing I don't have that youth anymore that I can rely on and fall back on. Strength. A lot of people, man, they're physical specimens. I look at the things I used to be able to do that I'm either not able to now or not allowed to now. Paul says, don't put confidence in the flesh. Riches. Everything we have can be taken from us. Everything we have, it can burn up in a fire. We can be robbed. We can lose it. It can wear out. Like Jesus talks about, don't put your trust in things where rust can destroy it, where moths can eat it up, where thieves can steal. Put your riches and your treasure in things that'll last. Power. We live in, just look around politically. People are riding high in April and shot down in May. You look at the corporate world. You see, you might be some CEO of a company, and next year, the corporation's bankrupt. But you put all your stock on that fame. Look at the celebrity world. They're on top one day, and 2 years later, nobody even knows who they are. They're what was it? Andy Warhol said everybody has 15 minutes of fame. Some people might get 16, 17 minutes. Fame runs out. I heard it once said, it's amazing how fast you go from who's who to who's that. Your past accomplishments. Paul doesn't want us to rest. I taught Bible school 40 years ago. What have you done since? I used to do this. I used to do that. Great. Don't put confidence in the past. What are you doing right now? Paul goes on to say in verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. I don't put confidence in the flesh. He's telling us not to. He says, but if you want to play this game, let's play. Let's match resumes. Let's go toe to toe for a little bit. I'm not going to put confidence in the flesh, but if you want to, see if you can top this. He was circumcised the eighth day. He's from the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He calls it himself a Hebrew of Hebrews. He could speak and write Hebrew. Not all Jews. In fact, at this time, things that I've read, most Jews could not speak or write Hebrew. That Greek and Aramaic were the languages of the area. Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, You want to revert back to that law about circumcision? Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. Any of you Pharisees? Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church more than anyone. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. By the letter of the law, he was blameless. But he also, in Romans, told them, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He still needed Christ. Here is my pedigree. It's fairly pure. Now, if you want to match things with me, let's play. But he told them, don't have confidence in the flesh, because you'll fall flat on your face every time. He goes on to explain in verse 7, but what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. There's a plan of salvation right there. When I became a Christian, I died to my old self. He explains that in Romans. The Romans needed to hear. I don't mind telling the same things again and again and again, because people need to hear it. That's not me, but Paul's saying that. I counted it loss. I consider it rubbish. Me being a Pharisee, that's not going to get me to heaven. Me being from the tribe of Benjamin, that doesn't get me any brownie points. I've considered all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Two of the biggest questions I've said this before, and like Paul, I don't mind saying it again. Two of the biggest questions we have to ask ourselves: are we in Christ, and will we be found in him on that day? Because just because we are at one moment doesn't mean we will stay that way. He goes on to say, but that which is through, or which, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, that doesn't count. That does me no good. But that which is through faith in Christ. We talked a little bit about today, a lot of times we sometimes use the word faith and belief kind of sometimes interchangeably. They're very, very similar. It's not Faith is not just a mental acceptance. It's not just a mental acceptance that there is a God, that there is Christ. There were plenty of people that personally witnessed Christ do miracles, that knew that there was a Jesus. There might even been some, he's special. But it didn't move them to the point of doing what it took to be followers of him. This kind of faith is that. A faith, a belief that moves us to action, and obedient faith. And he says, That's the righteousness which is from God by faith. Not from the law, but from the righteousness that's from God by faith. He goes on to say, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul got it. It's not just, don't just sign me up for the good stuff. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to have fellowship with his sufferings. And he did. He did. Jesus told him all the things he would have to suffer for his sake. And it goes on to say in verse 11, that if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. If I have to suffer these things, if I have to go through some unpleasantness, so be it. It far outweighs the alternative. You know, date myself, there was a song years ago, I think I was like in late elementary school, "Never Promised You a Rose Garden." Nobody ever promised a rose garden of Christianity. It doesn't escape us from problems. Helps us deal with things a little bit better. Sure equips us to deal with things while we're here a little bit better than somebody that's not in Christ. It was important to Paul to know him. But more importantly, he would write to the Galatians in chapter 4, verse 9. He says, "But now after you have known God," and that was so important to Paul, to know God or to know Christ. And then he not catches himself, but explains himself. "But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God." That's the key. Are you known by God? A lot of people are aware of God. A lot of people were aware of Christ during his life. But they weren't followers of him. They weren't dedicated. They weren't disciplined to follow. And Paul goes on, and it kind of ties in with what he's talking about here in Philippians. He goes, after you've known God, or rather known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, the base things, like the law? Why do you return to the law? Why do you return to wanting to be circumcised and upholding the law when Christ gives us victory over the law, gives us victory over death due to his resurrection? This is kind of going to be a stopping spot tonight. We've got a little bit of time, but I didn't want to get into the rest of the end of chapter 3 yet. If you look at Paul's writings, how many times does he say some of the same things over and over and over and over? It sinks in, hopefully. Growing up, even those of us that are a little older, can some words of mom, words of dad or grandma or grandpa, can you still hear them fresh in your mind? Because maybe you heard them over and over and they're still with you. That's what Paul was hoping that even though it's not tedious to me to write these things to you, but for you it's good. We're going to end there. You might read chapter 3 this week, just in your own personal study, and we'll the next time, I think it's in a couple of weeks, we'll finish chapter 3. We never like to end an assembly without offering the invitation to some to the congregation. Some people may need to put their Lord on in baptism. Maybe they know God, but they're not in God. They've studied. They know who Christ is, the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God, but they haven't put him on. They're not in him. You're in him when you're baptized. Maybe you're struggling. You need the prayers of your brothers or sisters. Maybe there's sin in your life that you need to repent from. I couldn't imagine what it must have felt like to the people on the day of Pentecost, as it said, devout Jews who heard Peter's message, and Peter's message was basically, he reviewed Jesus and he said, "This Jesus whom you crucified was the Son of God, the Messiah." And in verse 37, they cried out. It said they were cut to the heart. Has something ever happened that it filleted you wide open? They were cut to the heart and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Because they realized the situation they were in. And Peter responded, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to, you know. Again, it's not going to be a rose garden. It's not going to just be a walk in the park. La-di-da. There's going to be hardship. It doesn't take you out of the world. You're going to have hardship. I'd rather face that hardship with Christ and with my brothers and sisters than without them. If we can be of service to you, whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.